You just came from the cheese guys, I guess. And now we're at the cranberry. So cranberries go with cheese pretty well. I have some cranberry juice for you here if you like, some single syrup. And I also have some information, or I like to call it propaganda, on cranberries. You know how good they are for you and how they'll cure everything that ails you. Standard industry stuff, but you're welcome to take the package. Cranberries have been grown in BC for actually quite a long time, going back to good old Fort Langley in the 1800s. And so they are native to the area, although they're quite spread out now in BC, but they are confined to the lower mainland. Although there is a new planting in Pemberton, in the Pemberton area, okay? So I lied. It's not just the lower mainland. But that's the farthest reaches. So this farm in Agassiz is sort of the easternmost farm in BC, and the farm in Pemberton would probably be the most northern. And then other areas where it's grown is Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge, Abbotsford, Delta, Richmond. Richmond is probably the highest concentration of cranberries in one area. If you go down Canby Road and number 7, you're right in the middle of it. There's probably 40% of the industry is right there, 3,500 acres. And why Richmond? Well, that was where Jack Bell, back following the Second World War, had harvested peat off of natural peat bogs in the area. Now what are you going to do with what's left? And so we investigated and they started with cranberry planting. BC produces probably between 15 to 17% of the cranberries in North America. Okay, we used to be the largest growers in Canada, or largest regional growers in Canada, but Quebec is now kicking our butt. And so Quebec is probably 56-58% of the crop in Canada, and we're 42, well, a little bit, maybe 40%. And the other growing regions are, there's a little bit grown in Ontario, very small percentage, and then in the Maritime provinces, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. New Brunswick is getting into cranberries big time, so they're expanding out there. But a lot of the major expansion in Canada has happened in Quebec. South of Quebec City and in between Montreal and Quebec City, and a little bit to the east in the, I guess you could call it the Pine Barrens. It's very similar to New Jersey, actually. Out there, they have a lot of sand culture. A lot of cranberries grown in sand. We don't have so much of that out here. As a result, Quebec has a bit more, has a fairly high percentage of organic cranberries in Quebec. And I think a lot of it is due to the geography and where they're growing it. People always ask, well, do you have organic cranberries in BC? And not in any significant amount. And I think part of that is due to the pest load out here. We have, very mild winters. And if you know about the pine beetle epidemic in the interior, well, I think there's a little bit of that influence down here, is that we don't have that really cold, hard, killing frost, 30 below for a week. Actually, that's why a lot of us live out here. I'm from Edmonton originally, so I appreciate the climate, but I think the pests do as well. So it makes it quite a bit more difficult to grow organic out here. In BC, there's approximately 6,500 acres is planted to cranberries. So it's not huge when you compare that to the blueberry industry, where there's probably 26,000 acres planted. So we're small in comparison. What else can I tell you? Most of the growers in the province are members of Ocean Spray, and you've all heard of Ocean Spray. And a lot of people, there's a misconception, a lot of people think, well, Ocean Spray, you know, I don't want to buy American cranberries, I want to buy, I want to support the local, you know, Canadian growers. Well, by buying Ocean Spray, you actually do support Canadian growers, because Ocean Spray is a co-op, it's an international co-op, so there's members on the board from Canada and from the U.S. So when you buy Ocean Spray products, you are indirectly supporting Canadian growers, so, and BC growers. What else can I tell you about the industry? Do you have any questions? Ask questions anytime.
Is it pretty healthy right now? Is it getting a good price for cranberry?
Well, we're on the precipice. You have the Ocean Spray growers and you have the independents. In BC, like I said, 95% of the growers are Ocean Spray, 5% are independent. But if you go to Quebec, it's the reverse. And so right now, because of the vertical integration of Ocean Spray, they've been able to maintain fairly good prices for the growers, but they also have a different structure. They have A pool, B pool, and it depends on how much equity you have and blah, blah, blah. So that affects your pricing. With the independents, they don't have that cushion, shall we say. So if you were to look at the last 10 years, the price paid to growers on from Ocean Spray is kind of like this. It's kind of a, you know, it's a fairly straight line. If you look at the independent prices, like this, sort of boom and bust. There's like close to 80% of last year's crop is in the freezer. So it's going to be an interesting year coming up, definitely. So that there is downward pressure on price because of that. So it's just like, and the other thing too is if you look at blueberries, for example, and then raspberries. Raspberries has shrunk down to a very small part of the berry economy. Like there's only so many dollars around for berries if you look at it in commercial sales. And so when one crop is doing well or one crop has a surplus, it'll force the price down, or they may go to another crop to fill those little McDonald pies. You know, I use the McDonald pies. You know, sometimes you'll see, man, they're really pushing raspberries, and other times you'll see, man, they've got a lot of apple, or they've got a lot of cherry or something. It all depends where the price point lands, you know, for the market and for the processors, where they get the best bang for the buck. But I digress. That's sort of the bigger picture of that. So there is a downward pressure, I think, on the prices.
So if you've got 80% in the freezer, is that because of prices or because of the supply and demand?
Supply and demand. Last year, come on, Bob, come on, sit on the tailgate here. I'm just answering the question here. Last year, BC had a really good crop, above average. For the last 3-4 years before that, we had our amount of crop was depressed. Like we didn't have very good crops. Part of it was due to the climate, you know, just the way the season developed and that. Last year we had a good summer. This year we had a good summer, and last year it came out in higher yields, you know, barrels per acre. They measure yield in barrels per acre.
Why did they do that?
I think it's just a throwback to old times, you know, to tradition. They still continue to do that. Someone will say, hey, Bob, how did you do this? And you'll say, how many barrels to the acre did you get this year, Bob, or last year, you know? And that's just kind of how it's measured.
Just like bushels for apples?
Yeah. Just had that. It's been a burning question for me.
Burning. Well, I'm glad
to
put you out of your misery. Bob, why don't you introduce yourself?
Bob DeRoche, I run this, manage this farm here. Kevin Gill owns the farm. And that's about it, I guess. It's really quite simple.
Well, maybe tell them, like, how many acres and all that.
You got 60 acres here. The average 200 barrels per acre, sometimes 300 barrels per acre. control the grass. It's just drainage. You can get right up there. They've got a new variety of cranberries now that they're planting, and it's almost doubled the forest rate. So, quite interesting, and you know, you've got the development. You know, there's new plants that they're coming up with. Higher production and good rot.
How often would you replace a cranberry plant?
You don't have to replace it. You keep pruning it. You know, looking at it. There's another variety that produces better and it's resistant to the rest of the diseases that they get in the strip of field and you change it. But
how long will they produce for?
As far as I know I've been in the business for years. The only time they stop growing is when you quit feeding them or you flood them out. So they're natural in the bogs here.
Is it all wet harvest for you?
Yes, it is. There's some fields. Henry Gullenberg has a dry pick in Seabird Island.
Yeah.
So he's about the only guy that has dry pick. It's a lot more labor intensive, smaller machines, slower.
Who's doing the breeding or where?
Most of it comes out of the U.S.
Pardon?
Most of it comes out of the U.S., Wisconsin and that.
Oh, yeah.
No, as far as where they're developed, it could be, you know, I don't know.
I can answer a little bit. Rutgers University, Nick Borsa, is the, they're the largest cranberry breeders. Well, they're pretty much, yeah, they're the largest cranberry breeders in North America.
There's no breeding being done up here, right?
No, but actually, we've just in the last over the last couple of years, and this summer actually, we have been developing a cranberry research farm. And what it is it's not like a research. Have you been to the research facility at Agassiz? Okay, it's not anything like that.
We're gonna do this.
Oh, okay.
Going there today.
Oh, you're going there today. Okay, so when. What we're doing is basically setting up a farm and a demonstration farm. We've got 12.5 acres of cranberry bog, 5 2.5 acre bogs that this summer we planted one bog with quarter acre sized variety trials. So what Bob was talking about some new varieties that are coming out, like Molica Queen and De Moranville, they're not coming out. They have been out for a while. They're higher yielding varieties, but they have different characteristics. Some have larger fruit, some are a little bit earlier, these types of things. So the purpose of the cranberry farm or the cranberry research farm that we're establishing is to test these varieties, so to see how they perform in the Pacific Northwest, right? We call it the Pacific Northwest. So, and then the second bog, we have smaller plots that are 15 by 20 that we just planted this summer, and they're limited release, and they're numbered varieties. So they haven't been released commercially yet, but they're the best candidates for commercial release. So we're looking at how they are going to perform in this ecozone, if you want to call it that.
She likes to talk.
Who's doing all that?
Well, actually, the growers have funded that program. They're funding through a special levy that's collected through the Cranberry Marketing Commission to fund that farm. And the location of the farm is actually right beside the Vancouver landfill, or Mount Gregor, as I call it. And so we're right beside it. It's on 72nd. Actually, right through the bush by Cran West, if you go south from Cran West. And so we were able to access that land because of the SFPR. There was the South Fraser Primary Road. South Fraser Primary Road. So it's, sorry, I shouldn't assume everyone lives in this area or whatever. So
we're from all over Canada.
You're from all over Canada. Okay, very good. So, you know, there's a lot of development in the port, and they want to expand the port and to ship coal and gas and everything else. Well, in putting in the infrastructure to support the port, there's been highway development and things like that. And so It's called the South Fraser Perimeter Road. That will give better access to the port and transportation services. So what's happened is when that highway went through, it impacted quite a few lands, quite a few growers in Delta. And it skirts along the edge of Burns Bog, and Crane West, it affected in a major, major, major way. So there was a piece of land that got cut off of about 15 acres right beside the landfill that John Savage, he's an ex-social credit agriculture minister going quite a few years back. He was able to negotiate with the province, and we were able to secure this piece of land at a really good rate. And so that was sort of the brainchild and the work towards developing this experimental farm. So that farm is managed by the BC Cranberry Research Society, and it's, you know, that's all it can be used for. So the idea is, when this afternoon when you go to Agassiz, you see the researchers there. This is to provide an area for experimental, you know, to carry out experiments and not impact on the grower. Because a lot of times, if you see Sheila Fitzpatrick, she might tell you, when they go out to a grower's field and they do whatever it is, monitoring insects or testing a new pesticide or the efficacy of a new pesticide, a lot of times, and not it's no fault of the grower, he'll have to do something for the crop to, he's in it to make a livelihood, right? So he has to protect his crop. And sometimes what will happen is, because of whether he puts on the irrigation and they don't want to irrigate on the experimental plot or whatever, they lose data. And Sheila, Dr. Fitzpatrick, has said that at times she's lost over the last, 10 years, maybe 40% of her data, because of that situation. It's nobody's fault. It's the reality. So this is a separate area where researchers can put in their plots maybe have an area dedicated for research and for variety development and measuring. So, kind of a long, wordy answer. Sorry about that.
One thing that we should maybe think about or take away with the group is what we'd like to do is create a farm project as a partnership with the government and the private industry, and we'd like to create a university at the research station, Western Agricultural Research Station, which, we should seriously think about that and see if it's something that's feasible. It would involve the private participation and federal funding for this type of research. It appears that the research station is coming to an end for this type of government funding. So this might be an idea that people should think about. It's something for the future that involves private and federal and provincial. It would be an education facility, plus it'd be something that a farmer could go in, so many acres of corn in, cranberries in, variety of the crops, and they can be studied, plus the research would be managing it, and at the end, the private enterprise would be able to take the crop off. Everybody would gain. It would cut the cost of research tremendously. So it might be a question you might want to ask the research station when you're there. Do you want to have a university?
Have you floated that idea with anyone officially?
We floated the idea at the drainage committee meeting, but it doesn't seems to fall on deaf ears.
Why is Quebec betting heavily on cranberries? You're saying the market is very saturated right now.
Well, that's where the major expansion has happened in the last 5 years. And there's a lot of factors because of that. I mean, there's a lot of support from the Quebec government initially for getting into cranberries. Governments and as well as farmers are always looking for the next crop, right? You know, it was a combination: government support, new crop expanding, and cost of land compared to, you know, in the Pine Barrens out there compared to the cost of land here. So there's a lot of factors. A lot of the expansion too happening in Quebec. You'll hear the Americans may be grumbling about it and that, but there's a lot of silent partners that are American up there put backing expansion. So it's complicated. It's not, nice and straightforward. But those are some of the factors that have caused it. It's just like, here, you look at, when I started in association management here, there was maybe, going back 10 years, 8,000, 6,000 acres of blueberries. Now we're at 28,000 acres of blueberries. And everybody's, people have been saying for the last, 8 years at least, oh, the price is going to drop, but people still plant, and the price has bounced around a little bit, come down a little bit this year, but there's still new crops coming on. It's a long-term crop. Like cranberries. Cranberries is a long-term crop. It's been the last real price drop and oversupply issue, I guess you could call it, was 10 years ago. Well, actually more than that, 1999, 2000, right? Yeah. Was about when it happened. So 13 years ago.
But it fluctuates. It goes up and
it's
down.
It's a cycle.
It's like the blueberry market, because yep. There's other countries that are producing the same product, and supply and demand sets the price. And if you've mechanized your farms that you can survive the downturn on it, got rid of, what you have to do is get rid of your labor costs. That's the bottom line. If you're going backwards, not making money, you can't carry the cranberries for 5 years. You just can't do that. You're going to go broke. The bank's going to come in and say, hey, what are you doing?
That inconsistent yields, right? And that's why the new variety development, when the price starts to bottom out or is barely making the cost of production, that's when you got to have good yields. And that's the challenge. When you have a great yield, the price is low. Well, which is a good thing. But when you have a lower, you don't have much of a yield, the price is high. That's what you hope, right, to balance out. So it's a tough game. Farming's a tough game.